This is a production of the Parrot X Radio Network. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Parrot X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Hello. We're just sitting here yak. Oh, wow. We're live. Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Insight Radio. I'm your host, Ladine.
And I'm your host, Melissa. And I guess it takes 1 week of being gone for a month in order for us to get our flow back, our mojo.
Well, you know, you and I hadn't seen each other for like 3 weeks, and we saw each other for an hour last week, and we haven't got to catch up yet, so we're sitting there just
and I just looked at you like, do you know it's your time to talk on the show?
Like,
and
you're like, we're doing a radio show tonight. Well, I hope everyone is having a good start of their weekend. Mine doesn't start till tomorrow because I have to work on
Mine
Saturdays.
Starts tonight, and I'm going camping.
I know,
but
you
it's
are
hot in Texas.
It is really hot. It's like, 6 o'clock here right now, 7 o'clock on Eastern time, and it's 93 degrees. Ah! But did I tell you about my little pool excursion?
Just that you bought one and you filled it up, but I didn't see it on the way in.
Well, you know why you didn't see it on the way in? Because we filled it up. We were sitting in it just having a good old time, and all of a sudden the side collapsed. So, guess who did? Well, we still have the pool, but it wasn't set up properly because our backyard's unlevel. So, one side was leaning to the wrong side. So, any slushing around in the water at all, and it caused the side to
I think
collapse.
I've seen that on America's Funniest Videos a few times, haven't I?
And it was because I got up to go try to fix it. And I thought a thing was going to swoosh me right out of the
pool. Aw, I miss all the funny stuff.
You know, we set it up and it was like 125,000 degrees outside. And so we're like, oh, it's going to feel so good. And we were so excited. We got like 10 minutes worth of enjoyment.
We're like,
Yeah. So we got to fix the ground and try to set it back up. But hey, life's good. So anyway, you're going camping. That's going
to
be fun.
I'm going to go up to Ray Roberts Lake and we're going to go camping up there for the weekend. And actually, I took Monday off.
Yay!
We're going to stay up there 2 nights with the puppies, and hopefully my tooth won't hurt, because I wish you all could have seen the slobbering idiot that came to work at 9 o'clock this morning after getting dental work done. So
Nyla says the rapids. Yeah, that's what it looked like. I'm glad there wasn't video on us, that's for sure. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and go to the paranormal news.
And now here's Melissa Burke with the paranormal news.
How creepy is it that we're trying to match the size of... We both have goosebumps and rubbing our hair down off. That was just pretty cool. Thanks for that, Tim. Thanks.
He's got an awesome deep voice.
There you go. So there's an old radio at a World War II Heritage Center that has been picking up vintage broadcasts despite having no power.
Wow, that's wild.
It's exciting. So the old wireless radio at Monroe's Air Station has been heard on several occasions to be playing vintage music from the war, along with speeches from Winston Churchill, despite the fact that there isn't any connected electricity. Dun,
wow.
Dun, dun.
They have for that? I mean, do they have any kind of documentation?
That I can't tell you, but I will look to see if
I can. You need to look and see about that, because I'd like to see if they've got any kind of documentation on that, or if it's just, you know, rumors.
It'd really be cool if they could get it on video.
that would. That'd be awesome. Okay.
Okay, so the second thing that I have, one of the most well-known and enduring ghost photographs of all time may have finally been solved. I know people don't like to hear that. I know they don't like it to be solved. It always is such an error to be a mystery. However, this picture taken by Tony O'Reilly in 1995 during a fire at Wemtown Hall, the famous photograph shows what appears to be a ghostly girl standing in the flames. You know which one it is, don't you?
Yeah.
Up until his death, he claimed that it wasn't a hoax, but now researcher Brian Lear may have uncovered a postcard that allegedly shows the very same girl that appeared in the photograph.
Really? You know, it's disappointing, but, you know, as paranormal investigators, researchers, whatever you want to call us, that's our job, you know, to go out and research this and debunk things. So I would rather know that it's a fake than, you know, because I'm not the kind of person that's going to sit back and go, oh, wow, that's real. Until I have facts, I'm not going to say anything's real. So I'm kind of glad that somebody took the time, the effort to do a little more research on that, because I know that probably, I'd say, 80-90% or more of the photographs that you see on the internet are fake.
And that's really too bad. That's disappointing. Why fake evidence?
Yeah, exactly. Why? You know, I don't know. Photographers playing with their, you know, shutters or whatever.
I was going to say, you might want to stop that conversation before it gets started. That's not that kind of show, Ladine.
All right, guys, we'll sit back and relax. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, we'll introduce our guests. You're listening to Paranormal Insight Radio with Ladine and Melissa.
To be a plumber, to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
I can tell we're so a little rusty right now. Now, we have our guest on the line, But so that we don't mortally embarrass ourselves or completely butcher her name entirely, I'm going to let her introduce herself. Are you there?
Hi, yes I am. And my name is Laura Ketchledge.
Yay!
It's really a tongue twister of a last name, isn't it?
Well, and we weren't sure about the first name either, and we definitely don't want to ruin it for you. It's like, there's nothing like you come on and your name is James, and they're like, and here's James!
Well, very few people have ever gotten it right the first time.
We were talking about it. We said, is it Laura or Laura? Or how will we pronounce it? We'll just let her pronounce it.
It's they Laura. It's a Welsh name.
Welsh, that's why. It's a Welsh name.
Oh, okay. All right. That's great. Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're excited. I did some more research on you today, and we're really thrilled to have you on the show and pick your brain and talk about everything that's going on with you and all that you do. So why don't you just start out, if you would, please, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a paranormal author. I've written a series of ghost stories. I call them my little ghost chronicles, covering near-death experience, reincarnation, hauntings, everything paranormal wrapped up in a neat little package. But, you know, my stories are really, there's really a mystery and there's a plot to it, and the paranormal is just the icing on the cake. So these are really solid stories that I've written. So I've written in books, and I write for several online paranormal magazines like Mysterious America, Paranormal People. I have columns on that. And I'm working on a screenplay presently to produce a low-budget movie.
Awesome. Very nice. So would you say that writing is probably the thing that you're most efficient at, is writing?
Well, I'm not Hemingway, but I have great stories, and I will pull you in to my stories, and I go pretty fast. I mean, there's a lot of information in the books, and there's no dull spots. You know, there's just like, you know, you're going to really want to turn the page to find out what happens. And I understand people and how people think, and that laps over into the paranormal.
Fantastic. That's awesome. And, you know, that's great because you're right about a lot of books, and I've read a lot of books, and there's so many that it's like, oh, do I really have to turn the next page? But, you know, so you want to do that. You want to keep the interest of the people that are reading. So that's really important when you're
reading.
Well,
I think, you know, what's important, you know, everything isn't in a novel. It isn't for some 20-something-year-old girls and boys, you know. Let's face it, people in their 20s are kind of they're kind of boring compared to people in their 40s and 50s who've lived a lot and have a lot of interesting, you know, background. So I do have my ingenue and my leading man, but it's an ensemble type, the way I write, it's an ensemble of characters. There's just not one central character. In each story, I'll take one of the minor characters and make them the central character for that story.
Now, do you base your stories on both truth and fiction? Do you mix it up a little, or is it strictly fiction?
Well, I don't want to get sued. the funny thing is, you know, I never thought I was going to be a writer, never in a million years, until I had my accident when I was 19. I had a near-death experience. And when I came back, you know, from this near-death experience, I seemed to having, you know, all these things happen to me and basically could see ghosts. So all these paranormal events were happening, and 30 years ago, you just didn't talk to people, you know, you kept it under your lid, you know, you went to your therapist and vented your spleen there, but that was about it. So I dreamt a story in 1987. I literally dreamt my first novel and then started writing, and I had all these built-up paranormal experiences that had happened to me. So I put them into, you know, fictional characters living in a pretend world, and this is how I became a writer. So it's very weird. I always call myself the accidental psychic, because if I hadn't had the accident, I wouldn't be a psychic, and therefore I wouldn't be a writer. So it's a strange turn of events.
It really is. But do you think, Laura, that perhaps you were a psychic, but just the experience of having the near-death experience might have been something that ignited it?
Well, I've been told, you know, I find this out in my in my late 30s, you know, about 15 years after my real first ghost encounters, which just about killed me. I found out that this ran through my grandmother's people, and I heard stories about it growing up, but I really, you know, never paid attention. Well, my great-grandmother had the gift, and people used to come to her, and she used to put her hands on them and heal them. Now, this is 1900. This is a long time ago. And when my grandmother went paralyzed and my great-grandmother couldn't heal her, she had people come in that had the gift, and they healed or helped my grandmother walk again. So I've heard these different stories, but, you know, it zigzags throughout my family. I talked to a couple of uncles who had the gift, and they were a little bit different. So I was told when I was little that I had some psychic ability and able to see. I don't know. I mean, what can you say about being 3 years old? You know, you don't know fantasy from fiction. But after 19, and after the accident, my life changed. It changed for the better. This has been a gift.
That's really good. I had myself, and it wasn't an accident, but it was actually, I had a cancer and I'm a survivor, so I can see how you're saying this. I think a lot of times the people that do experience and try to understand the paranormal version of our world, a lot of times something has triggered it, and I think we're kind of the lucky ones. Just like you said, this is your gift. I think we're kind of the lucky ones in that aspect.
Well, I always say it was a perfect storm for me, you know, because I had two things colliding at once, a genetic predisposition, and then I got killed in the accident, so.
Good night. Well, we're glad that you're here. Just let us put that forth. Is this all you do is do you write? I see that you have been a Jill of all trades. You've been a model. You've been a waitress. You've been a bartender, housewife. Is this what you do as a career now, is right?
Yes, this is what I'm doing right now. I've just finished, you know, my third novel and doing my final edits, and I'm sprinkling what I call breadcrumbs. I've got one more novel in the series, you know, because it goes from 1979 to present day that I need to write, so I'm putting clues into my last three novels, you know, for the fourth novel, which is great, and I'm sending them off to the publisher at the end of the summer. So wish me luck, and hopefully I'll have the success of Anne Rice at some point.
Well, how exciting. And that's good that you're leaving those little, you know, dangling the carrots in the third so that, you know, people want to read it. That's a good thing. That's a good strategy.
Well, you won't find out until the third book why there's a big connection, you know, with Miguel and Tess, you know, who are friends. But you find out why in the third book. So I try to, you know, do things like that, you know, that's interesting. So when you read the third book, you'll go, aha. And when you read the fourth book, it all comes, you know, all these people reconnect, this group of people.
That's so exciting. So what now, with the near-death experience and awakening your intuitive senses, did that also awaken your paranormal side, or is that something you've always been interested in? What got you interested?
No, actually, you know, I couldn't have been more uninterested. The paranormal world, other than watching a good horror flick, just never appealed to me. It's not my, even now, it's not my identity. I respect people in it, but I just wasn't my interest. It wasn't my thing. So it's so funny. It's almost, you know, an irony that this happened to me. And I've had these experiences. And also, you know, when I talk to other people that, when I do interviews and I talk to other people that have had psychic ability, I can tell pretty quick who's telling the truth and who is, you know, who's not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I can tell pretty quick, you know, and it's the paranormal world attracts a lot of people that are open-minded, intelligent, curious, good people, and unfortunately, we have the lunatic fringe that accompanies that.
I don't mean to laugh because, boy, is that true. That is a true statement.
But it is in all fields if you stop and think about it, you know, not just
paranormal. I just hope all the lunatics buy my books. I love them, you know.
Exactly. Just keep buying books.
I'll have to give you a few character suggestions.
Give me the money.
Exactly. Laura, I have a question from the chat room. This is from Stacy, and she's wanting to know, do you find that magnetic or electrical sources affect you more, like trolleys or power lines?
Well, I'm not near any power lines or anything, but I do have electric problems in this house. Not with the electricity, but with batteries. Like, sometimes I'll buy one of those big boxes of Eveready that you get at Walmart, put them in a drawer, take them out a week later, and one by one they're all dead. I've also had, when we had the ghost investigation here and we were having the seance, all the electrical equipment shut off all at once. The cameras, the videotape, everything stopped at once abruptly, then came back on. And that's when those shadows went across the ceiling. So definitely there's something electronic. I don't know too much. I mean, I know this sounds terrible, but I don't read a whole lot about the paranormal experiences of other people. Not that I'm uppity or anything. It's just I didn't want them to affect the way I wrote my novels. I wanted to have all my ideas original. So yeah, some of this the lingo I'm not up on.
Well, that's okay. Everything you said we understood. We're shaking our head yes. If you don't know, it's a good thing we're on radio, because when we agree with a guest we have, we turn into the bobblehead ladies, and we just sit in one spot and our heads go yes we understand.
We do. We look like a couple of bobbleheads sitting here. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
You probably not that you want to know this term. You're probably very sensitive to EMF. That's all I'll say.
What's that?
Electromagnetic field, just like she asked the question.
Sorry.
No. That's okay. That's
how about
a good
thing. The paranormally technically challenged?
There you go. But yeah, she's
yeah,
right.
I've had some people say some things to me, and I'm like, when I had the ghost investigation teams come here, It was just wild, because, you know, they were talking the talk, and I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, I know what I've experienced, and I have a good guesstimate what happens. And, you know, but I'm still a little uncomfortable talking about my reincarnation experience. I'm still, you know, I think I was dragged into the paranormal world kicking and screaming. I mean, it's just, if you knew me, you know, you just think, you know, oh, God, Laura's the last person to go for this. So, I mean, it's been a blessing, but it's just been a weird blessing.
I think a lot of people go through that. My mother had a out-of-body experience. She actually was in a coma, mm-hmm. and she still has a hard time talking about it. Of course, my mother supports me in what I do, but she always threatens me within an inch of my life that if I bring anything home to visit her house, she's going to, you know, rip my arm off and beat me with it. I swear she says that. So I think that's a normal thing. I think there's a lot of people that still, in this day and age, have a hard time.
Yeah.
It's not either you're really interested and you want to know every single detail, or you're pushed there and you can deal with what you can and forget the rest.
Well, it's been overwhelming for me, because the frequency of ghostly visitations has been, you know, it's been 6 weeks since I've seen a ghost, and that's a very long time for me, you know.
You realize sometimes that we're going to ask you, is your house haunted now then, if it's been about 6 months since you've seen a ghost?
No, 6 weeks.
Oh, 6 weeks. Ooh, that's...
Yeah,
that's
a very long time for me in between visits.
So your current house is... active.
It's haunted. Yeah.
And we're going to go Most into definitely. That more. I want you to be able to talk about
poor Laura. The fact that it's we're just ripping it out of her. Tell us all the details now.
The bad thing is we only have like 45 minutes, you know, between commercials and everything. We've got like 45 minutes to get it all out there. So I kind of want to save the best for last, kind of, so everybody kind of stays with us, and because it's worth it. Because that's a lot of exciting stuff to talk about where your house is concerned. But so tell me what kind of experiences, not just with your house, but paranormal experiences that you've had since becoming, you know, psychic?
Well, you know, I'm able to see ghosts. Sometimes I've communicated with them. Other times I have not. I've had verbal conversations, and I've also, in the last few years, doing a lot of concentration, been able to get messages from them in the form of, I know this sounds strange, like visual pictures or like a telepathic picture.
That doesn't sound strange at all. That sounds actually
and
rather.
You know, it's sometimes the meanings are subjective. Other times they're like very, very, very vivid. And I mean, these pictures are so ultra crisp and technicolor and detailed, and the answers are so true. You know, I've been shown something that would happen in the future, and it did. I have been told to take a medication, and I did. I've been told twice to take a medication, and I definitely did it, especially after the second time. And I've also gotten encouragement. You know, people talk about these demonic things, and, you know, thank God that skipped me. I find the ghosts that come to see me, there's a couple of family members that are regulars, and then there's a group that I don't know. But I find it very comforting. I mean, I feel cared about, loved, connected to. It's an extension of family. It's just, you know, we do not die per se. There's just a transition after the physical body dies. You know, it's still going to scare me when it's my turn, but I've been there, so it's a little less scary for me. It's not a belief, it's a known fact.
That absolutely makes sense. And I think that, you know, Ladine and I are both on a paranormal team. Ladine is the founder. We have not come across demonic either. I think that term gets thrown around quite a bit, so I guess we'll consider ourselves lucky as well, because we've been pretty lucky on who we've encountered. So I think probably the people that are there, I think they're just trying to help you, kind of trying to help you understand so that maybe you aren't as afraid. Or, I mean, if they're giving you information on a loving basis, you know, that's the perfect scenario.
And don't think I haven't asked them, you know, a lot of questions like financial, what should I do? I mean, you know, I just about tackled a ghost one time and just went through my whole list, and he just said to me, "You're not that important."
I'm sorry, like, because I just got that vision in my head and I about spit my tea across to the computer of you tackling him.
You're not that important. I'm like, I got put down. I got put in my place by a ghost. Okay. All right. We're waving the freak flag here. Okay. That's all right. But I mean, of course, you know, those things go through my mind. I mean, if they could give me the lotto numbers, like, you know, that'd be great too. But I have gotten messages, and I think it's about 11 times, 12 times I've had the visual, you know, the picture shown to me. And that's been pretty profound. I know I could do this better if I could have some help, if I had a really experienced psychic sit down with me and help me do this better. And, you know, there's things I still feel kind of upset, you know, I have a hard time talking about, like astral projection and, you know, the reincarnation and stuff. You know, I have my moments.
Well, and with you saying that, you say that there's a lot of people that say that they're psychic, but they aren't true psychics. Isn't that something, I mean, don't you always question them?
I just can tell when someone's telling the truth. If I talk to them for a while, I can really tell who's telling the truth.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You might be able to work for the government with something like that. I'm just saying.
I'm not a Republican, so I don't think they'll hire me.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wonderful.
I didn't vote for Sarah, you know. But I tell you, if Tina Fey ever ran for a public office the way she did Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live, she'd have my vote.
Yeah, I think a few of our shows we've had the whole Republican-Democrat debate, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, especially when everybody finds out we're from Texas. It's like, oh, okay, we're not going here.
I'm just joking.
No, it's okay.
It's a good goof and it's a good giggle. I put a lot of humor in my stories and all my writings, and even when I talk about some of the stuff I've been through, it's sort of like gallows humor. I need it. But, you know, I think pretty humorously most of the time. At least I laugh at my own jokes. And I think you can't take everything so serious because you can overthink the paranormal world. You've got to, you know, be open-minded, learn what you can, but, you know, kind of go on with your life because we live in the here and now.
Absolutely.
We're going to be dead forever, so we might as well live in the here and now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that need to be reminded of that. I'm just saying, I'm not going to mention any names, but I do. I think that happens. I think that happens too much, and we need to.
People need to relax, you know, and just remember that this is a hobby that we do. If you have the psychic abilities, it's a gift, and people need to be humble and use that gift in the way it's supposed to be used. And so,
you know, a healthy balance, a healthy balance.
Exactly.
Can I ask you guys a question? You are so knowledgeable.
Sure.
And you've probably heard everything. I have a reincarnation situation that I haven't been able to understand, wrap my brain around, or really resolve. Over a year ago, you know, I do these hemisync tapes from the Ron Rowe Institute. That's about the only thing I do have read or done or anything. And, you know, one of the questions on the CDs was, who was I before I was me? Well, be careful what you ask for, my friend, because exactly. I had a ghost come to me, and she said to me, I was your mother, your name was Eleanor, and a jealous boyfriend killed you in 1942. And the woman was Caucasian. She had kind of big hair, an older woman, not exactly pretty. And then the experience was over, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I didn't really think I'd get a name the year I was murdered, all these things. And I've had a real, you know, kind of a creepy feeling about reincarnation. I just don't like the idea of it at all. You know, if I lived in Egypt 2,000 years ago, I wasn't Cleopatra. I'm sure I was the maid. So 2 days later, guys, 2 days later, I'm at the YMCA water walking in the pool, and I got a vision or a picture of Eleanor's face. Wow. And she had red hair and very pale skin and blue eyes and a pointed nose and chin. And, you know, I tried to do something psychically for like a year to reconnect and get more information. And I hit a dead end till about 5 weeks ago. And when I was doing a meditation, I saw out of the corner of my left eye, you know, I was asking Eleanor's last name, and I saw block letters that said F-R-E-E or F-R-E-D-M-A-N or F-R-I something M-A-N. So it was Freed, Friedman, something along that. And I kind of wonder, and this is what my roundabout question is to you, if I was given this information that I did not ask for, because I said, who was I before me, but I didn't say who killed me or when did I die, do you think that there is a reason that I was given so much information was to find Eleanor or to pursue this?
I would think that it would probably be just enough information to make you curious and want to research it. I really do. I think that...
Okay.
Maybe this spirit that came and gave you this information only had a certain time period in order to try to explain it to you. You know, when you see in movies, you see them go back in there and they're like, I'm you and I'm from 1977 and you need to have to do this and you don't do this and you do that. And then all of a sudden they're gone. And so these people are trying to figure it out. I think that happens more often than we allow to admit.
And
well, do you think other people find out who they were in their past lives?
Oh, yeah.
Is this common?
Absolutely. I think so.
And I think because you doubted that fact, that's their way of letting you know, look, this is who you were in one of them. So they're going to let you grasp that and kind of swallow that a little bit before they give you more information because, you know, not most of us, but some of us believe that you have even more than one past life. And
I know because I've had a flash of something else.
Yeah. And so they're going to gradually...
wasn't exactly good looking either.
That's okay. I was a man.
Eleanor was no beauty. Oh, no!
I was a male watchmaker, so there you go.
she wasn't a double bagger, but, you know, I'm sorry.
Well, and also, it might be information to... We had a hypnotist on our show one time, and he told us that a lot of our issues that we have now could be issues from a previous life. So maybe if you had something that was hereditary, or you wonder why you have a phobia, or whatever the case may be, this may be the link that you have been trying to understand why you are today from a past life. I think that happens quite often.
I think she was killed with a knife, but that's a guess. That is not, that's just a hypothesis that and a guess, but I have a feeling it was a butcher knife. I really do. I'm not that good on the computer, and I've gotten online and asked people to help me about Find Eleanor and described her and stuff, but I would, if the listeners are listening, go to my webpage, www.lurakettch.com, shameless plug.
And, no, that's perfect.
Contact me, because I really, really would like to find Eleanor and find out, solve this past life puzzle.
That's awesome. I think our listeners, probably some of them, would really be up for the challenge. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I saw what she looked like, and I've described it, I saw what she looked like completely.
You know, it would be really
cool. I don't have any memories of being her, or I didn't feel warm, fuzzy feelings seeing the mother. I had no real connection. Isn't that strange?
I don't think you would, to be honest with you.
You don't always have to, no. But you know what you should do, Laura, is you should probably keep some kind of a journal. When you get little bits and pieces of things connected to that, you need to write it down. And it's kind of like putting a puzzle together. Write it down, every little thing you get, and see, because it's probably going to start making more and more sense to you as time goes on.
What would be even better is if you could get somebody that would be volunteered, that is a kind of a sketch artist. Oh, that'd be awesome, because then you could...
Oh, that would be, yeah.
Then it could maybe narrow it down, and somebody may see this Eleanor and think, oh my gosh, I know who that is. That would be awesome. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
unsolved mysteries,
people
love them.
I could go over to the college and see if somebody could sketch her face.
There
That's
you
a
go.
Great
yeah.
idea.
Yeah,
I think that'd it'd be a great idea.
You know, she could the killer could be alive, and she may be a missing person.
That's
and
true.
And not necessarily they've ever found her body. I don't know. I mean, 1942 is a long time ago, so more than likely her murderer would be dead. But if he's not dead, and I know who he is, I'm knocking on the guy's door. I'll give the old guy a stroke, you know?
Go, girl.
I'm here.
I think that's awesome.
You just got to know me. I mean, I've got some chutzpah. I'll definitely do it if I can figure. If he's alive and, I'll chase him around in his wheelchair,
We're the same way, because we want the answers we want now, and we're willing to get out there and pound the pavement to get what we want, and so we totally can understand where you're coming from on that.
I'm not a forgive and forgetting type of person without murder.
Right.
So wow. How does the rest of your family feel about not only your abilities, but what you do? I mean, is everybody in your family pretty accepting? Do family members help you? How does that work?
Most of my family is deceased. But my uncle, before he died, we talked about this a lot because he had this. He had the gift, and we would talk about it, and he made me feel a lot better about it. My late sister had the gift, and she visits me a lot, which is wonderful. And, I've talked to my mother, and my mother understands it. My father just can't listen to it, but he knows I'm truthful. I'm just one of these middle-class people that pays your taxes on time, never been arrested, never had a traffic ticket. You could accuse me from being boring in middle age, but I was a wild child when I was young. But, I never got in any trouble or, was on anti-psychotic medicine,
Yeah. Well, and you have to be really careful when you make those statements, because remember that one saying, she was a nice person, she kept to herself, she kept her lawn mowed, and ended up being a psychotic killer. So that throwing end at the end is a good thing. So, that's good.
Well, I tell you, my only vice is too much sugar,
Here.
If there was a 12-step program for Coca-Cola Anonymous, I'd have to join,
Mine's chocolate.
Mine's bread. Carbs.
I know. But you know, the thing is, you know, that I used to get scared when I would see a ghost or a spirit would come to me. And, you know, they don't always look the same. I have seen your classic ghost that is white like a vapor and not defined. I have seen, you know, where fully defined person that looks like exactly like they did when they were alive, except they have no pigmentation. They're white. And then I've seen what is not an orb. It's not an orb, but a spirit in the form of a ball or oval.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen that quite often, too.
Well, you're lucky because I'm going to say for the most part, sitting here as I am, I have never truly what I believed seen a ghost. I've seen a vapor, I've seen a mist, but it was small. But so you're leaps and bounds ahead of me. Now I can hear them, but I've never seen one. So I think everybody,
you know, I've got something else to share that might make your listeners feel good, is that you know, I had this cat that I loved so much, and when she died it was pretty sad. And my husband and I had gone out to dinner, and I came home and was getting ready for bed, and I looked up, and there was this ball, and it was up towards the ceiling. So I got on a chair, and I wanted to touch this ball, and it was sort of translucent. And all of a sudden, like I had a telepathic connection, and it was my cat when she was young, not when she was old, because she was 18 or 19 when she died. And I heard a little meow, and it was so sweet. The experience was so sweet. And to know for sure and certain that animals have souls and survive, it just makes me feel wonderful inside.
Amen to
that.
Yeah,
we both feel the same way. We've had several pet psychics on, and we're never disappointed whenever we have them on, because it's nice to know. I grew up in the kind of family that said animals don't have souls and they don't go to heaven. Well, guess what? I'm not going to heaven either then, because I don't want to go where all my past, you know, because I was a child. It was devastating. But that I agree. I think that they have souls, and that is a good story, because everybody needs to kind of come on, you know, in touch with something like that to open their hearts.
When my little dog Bridget died 2.5 years ago, it was a terrible day, and I saw her like make a click or a roller. That's the only way I can describe it, as she was lying. And she came right out of her body. She looked younger and white, and she had longer fur. And she ran over to me. And she was there a few seconds before she vanished. But I saw her die, and I saw her come right out of her body. And it was terrible to lose her, but it was wonderful to know.
Well, it's just like a family member, just knowing that they're around. They don't have to be around all the time, but it's comforting. It's comforting for me to know that my mom comes around. She's not here all the time. But the same thing with our pets, you know, when they go. It's hard to let them go, but it is comforting to know that they do come around to see how we're doing. And why wouldn't they go back to being at the age where they were their happiest and playful?
And healthiest.
You know? So that makes total sense to me. Yeah. We're going to have to move on, or we're going to run out of time. I really want you to tell us the names of your books before we start talking about your house.
Well, they're on my, you know, snippets of my books, pages of my books are on my website. And the first book is The Near-Death Connection, which starts in Virginia in 1979. And then you've got Throwaway Horses, and then The Reincarnation of Tess Hamilton. I have a feeling if I can get Throwaway Horses into the hands of the correct Hollywood producer, we have got a movie. We have got a movie, people. Because Throwaway Horses is, it's almost a novella, because it's not that long. And I put another book with it to make it, you know, a full novel. But it is very Hollywood. It's tremendous psychic phenomena. And it's about a horse slaughterhouse, which is, you know, pretty grisly. But it goes past this, so, you know, when the whodunit mystery is solved, this character moves on with her life, and then you find out at the very end who did the second murder. And it's really very, very compelling, and I put my heart and soul into it, because I'm not a tree hugger, you know. I have a steak once in a while, but horse slaughter is a very sensitive subject with me.
It is.
I live in Kentucky, and I mean, I didn't preach in the story, but there was definitely a message.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a good thing, and maybe that's what we need to do, is kind of help look for the right producer. I'm just saying. I'm not saying I have connections, but I am saying that I know how to schmooze.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? What I'm doing now is I'm going to take a year off of writing novels, because it's been 10 years of, you know, very, very tedious work, which I love, but I want to do a different project. I'm going to produce a low-budget zombie movie, because I'm a 50-year-old big kid that loves zombie flicks. It's got nothing to do with the paranormal. It's sophomoric humor, bathroom humor, and it's going to be like Blazing Saddles meets Dawn of the Dead.
That's awesome.
I've already bought the domain name. It's called Another Apocalyptic Zombie Movie.
That's awesome. When you get a little further on that, you're going to have to come back and be on our show so that we can talk to you about that, because I know that a lot of our listeners are zombie lovers as well.
Absolutely.
I, you know, and if the listeners want to come to my webpage and give me zombie tips on my, you know, email me. I love zombie tips. But I'm going to have funny. I'm going to make it funny in there. You know, zombies like to do what they did when they were alive. So there's going to be a lot of comedy in it. You know, of course, we'll have some scantily clothed co-eds running around. And it's going to be fairly base humor. But it's just a vacation for me to do this.
And then I want
to do another movie called The Accidental Psychic, which is autobiographical at some point. But I think I need to go to film school and, you know, really, you know, do it right.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I'll let you know that, a matter of fact, one of the pet psychics we did have on our show happens to be a B-rate horror movie actress. I'm just saying. You said that, and cool. I was like, oh, my God. And she's hot. She's tall, blonde. She's not.
Beautiful.
And sweet. She is. She's
really
beautiful.
Sweet.
So
she's an animal activist.
So I'll just keep you two in mind, and when you get to one point,
awesome.
Then I'll be sending an email to Melissa going, I have somebody that you need to talk to. Now we want to know, is your house, the land or the house, is do you think that it's haunted, or do you think it's you?
I think it's a combination.
Okay.
I mean, this happened at my last house and the house before that. But I think there's something special with this house, especially the ghost that came here last June, you know, the one that was so confused and lost and, you know, kind of freaked me out. This strange man that I had no connection with came to me and tried to get through my window. And it was, long story short, is that I was pretty terrified. And then he said to me, "Tell me when I can go back to work." So he did not know that he was dead. So perhaps he was attracted to the house. I don't know. There is a lost Civil War grave site on my street, and nobody knows where the bodies are.
Well, and don't you have quite a bit of land out there, too?
Oh, I've only got 5 acres.
5 acres is quite a bit of land to, like, people that live in town. Like,
yeah, well, when you got to mow it and use Roundup, yeah, it feels bigger. But I've got 5-acre horse farm, and, you know, the thing is, what I did is, like, after I finished the novels last year, I found out I had to do all this PR before I can get a publisher interested, you know, oh joy, because I didn't have any Google ability. Now I'm on 11 pages of Google. So I put my house, because I got a cheeky sense of humor, I put it on eBay, listed it as haunted, and in 3 days, all the local media and TV stations swarmed me, and then paranormal investigation teams wanted to come to my house and debunk me, and both of them changed their minds because they found positive paranormal activity at my home and had positive findings, and they had electronic voice phenomena recordings of my house.
Oh, see, I know for a fact that Kentucky is beautiful because we traveled across it last year. So as soon as you said that people came out there, we both kind of thought it to ourselves, road trip.
Yeah, you can come here anytime, stay in my guest room. I'd love it. There was a, now I don't know if it's going to happen, but I've been, a producer from New York City contacted me for a haunted house listing and asked, you know, for me to be on the show. And I said, well, if it doesn't cost me anything, you guys can come over. I'll, you know, give you free Coca-Cola and you can swim in my pool. So I might be doing a H&G TV, but that's very iffy. I haven't heard back from her, and she may have found a better guest. But they would bring a paranormal expert teams to the house, and I said, you know, fine. I said, I also have told everybody I'll do a lie detector test to show that I'm really being forthright and honest about seeing ghosts.
Well, you know what, and you don't have to prove yourself to anybody, Laura. You really don't. You know what's going on inside that house. You've got data, proven data, what's going on inside that house. You don't have to prove it to anybody. You know, I mean, I could say all day long my house is haunted. I might believe that my house has activity, but, you know, and I don't have to prove that to anybody else because you know that. And I've seen your little news clips on your website of the news crews talking about the activity that's going on inside your house. You know, I find it exciting. I'm really, honestly, I'm surprised your house hasn't sold yet because to me, like you said, that's just an added bonus for a lot of people. You know, they would want to buy it just because it is active. A lot of people love living in a haunted house.
Well, I priced a reasonable $249,000 for, you know, a 5-acre farm in Kentucky. And, yeah, I've had some people interested in it, but they didn't want to live in this area of the country. That's been the problem.
I don't know why, because
it's
beautiful out there.
I didn't list it with a realtor. I just listed it on Craigslist and eBay. The eBay ad ran out, and Craigslist just keeps on going. But I would like to sell the house, but then on the other part, you know, if a ghost are attached to it, I'd be, you know, I don't know if I can put them in the suitcase and take them with me. I hope I can.
Well, all you got to do is say, hey, come on, we're going somewhere else. But
just invite them with you.
Unless they're connected to the land or the house, you know, which they might not be. They may be connected more to you. So that might be kind of fun to find out when you do move. If they come with you, then it goes to show you that they're not, probably not connected to the house or the land. You know, they just want to stay with you. That's really exciting. Can you, in about 4 minutes' time, can you
but no
tell us what kind of experiences that you've had in the house?
Well, you know, quite a few times I have seen, you know, the ghosts have come into my room. Most of the time I cannot communicate with them. A few times, you know, I can. You know, also, I've had a ghost knock on the window pane in my north window in the house. It is not pleasant, like a rap, rap, rap to wake me up. And I don't even know why they do that, but it's happened 3 or 4 times.
See, even that gives me goosebumps, so don't worry. That gives me goosebumps, especially when it's unexpected. It's outside and, hello, trying to sleep here.
It's not pleasant. And if they do it in the middle of the night, and I just bolt out of bed and like, oh, you know. But we're all packing in Kentucky.
And then you start
watching. I might shoot one.
That's right. And then you start doing the crane,
but,
Karate
I've seen
Kid.
Ghosts, and I've had a strange ghost come and try to come in through the window, which was scary. That was lost, and I, you know, totally can describe him. Even noticed that his shirt was untucked. So I've had these things, and I've also had, you know, the different visitations and stuff. So I have seen well over 80 ghosts in 8 years.
Holy smokes, that's a lot of paranormal activity.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. Yeah,
yeah, I think so. It's escalated. The last 5 years, my paranormal abilities have escalated, and I know I could do more, but it's probably my own fear factor that is holding me up.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Do you ever have any kind of, like, you know, a lot of people say poltergeist and they instantly get scared and think it's horrible, but what it is, it's just a spirit that's ornery, cantankerous, whatever. Have you ever had anything moved, like, you know, keys?
Well, the only thing is every time, sometimes I'm using the throne and the guest bathroom and I've had the door close on me.
Oh, man. Like, hello, don't want to share with the rest of the house, thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm sitting there, you know, just minding my own business, taking care of necessities of life, and then the door closes, and it's like, you know, what am I going to do, get up and run out? I don't think so.
I will tell you that I've heard several people that have spirits talk to them, whether they're psychic or whether they're just clairvoyant or whatever. And apparently the bathroom is a very sensitive area, whether it comes to showers or whatever. We're not going to go into details, but I don't think you're alone in that. I think that happens a lot. So
it's only in this one bathroom, but I think that's funny. And I have had, you know, auditory responses from them. The EVPs, I recognize different names. And so that was pretty neat. And the clusters of shadows that went through this, on my ceiling, we took pictures of during the seance and could not recreate it. The World Paranormal Investigations team were just excellent. They're from Ohio, wonderful people, and they put a north, there's a link on their webpage. I don't know what their webpage is, and with a full report of, you know, their investigation, which was pretty cool.
Well, they're pretty lucky to have been able to experience it. Now, if we can just get you your house sold so you can do what you want to do.
Well, thank you. I mean, I it would be nice if it sold. You know, I had to be forthright about the ghost. I think that's a perk and a plus myself.
Absolutely. We do too.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to be honest anyway, because, you know, there are people that it would scare them to death to, you know, to move.
Well,
into
and now some states it's mandatory that you say, like California, I think. So
absolutely. Well, Laura, I hate to have this show come to an end, but we are about out of time. You've been a fantastic guest, and we're definitely going to have you back.
Thank you so much for letting me be on. Can I give people my webpage real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's www.lurakech.com. I would love for the listeners to come and send me emails. And I'm also Laura Ketch on Facebook, and I could always use good friends on Facebook.
Maybe we can get you, maybe you can find your sketch artist, and maybe we can find out who you were. That'd be very interesting. And I'd love to know if you do find out from, whether it's from a listener or from somewhere else, I'd love to hear about it. If you wouldn't mind coming back and tell us about it.
Thank you so much. Y'all have been just a delight to speak with.
Thank you, Laura. And we, who knows, it may be soon we'll be having you again.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everyone, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to Paranormal Insight Radio with Ladina Melissa. We'll be right back.
Oh, right. I don't know. I don't know. Dr. Janine Austin, and I'm a life coach and a certified hypnotherapist for women around the world. Please come by and visit me at www.simplydivinesolutions.com. Currently, we have an e-course available that's called The Alma Answers, Getting in Touch with Your Soul's Wisdom. And this e-course is for both men and women. So please stop by and check it out. Thank you so much.
I love Dr. Janine. She was so sweet. Wonderful, sweet, amazing. Okay, next week we are going to have Joey Ward. He's the founder and director of West Georgia Paranormal Research Society. That ought to be a really good show.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be awesome. Okay, kindness is key. You cannot do wrong. You never know how soon it will be too late. And I leave this with you in love and light. Now, everyone, stay tuned for Denver and Lauren coming up next on The Other Side. Thanks for being here. Good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to the Para-X Radio Network.